TheChud.com's NFL Tackle Podcast with Clint Schaefer and Tom Suit. Now here's Jesse Perry.
Welcome to the NFL Tackle Podcast. I am Jesse Perry, also known as Mangy on the forums, here with a final look back at a memorable 2012 season. Clint and Tom will be here shortly. Like the first half of the 2011 season, the first few weeks of 2012 were hampered by subpar, flat-out lousy football. In 2011, it was because of the idiotic lockout, as teams scrambled to become a cohesive unit. This year, the bad play was a result of those inglorious bastards known as the replacement refs. Who can forget the Fail Mary in Seattle? Or when Denver's defensive lineman smashed Matt Schaub of the Texans into tiny bits and murdered him? It was just another example of Roger Goodell's commitment to player safety. You dick. As the season began its long march, several teams showed promise before crashing into the mountain. The Arizona Cardinals started 4-0, do you remember that? Before finishing 5-11 and firing their coach, and at one point, the Cleveland Browns won 3 games in a row against the most dreadful teams in the league, but still, the Browns fired their coach as well and upgraded their defense by hiring a new defensive coordinator, Ray Horton, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. Son of a bitch. 2012 may be remembered as the year of the rookie, with Andrew Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson, Alfred Morris, Doug Martin, Kendall Wright, and others contributing right away, with Luck, Griffin, and Wilson leading their teams to the playoffs. Really, when you think about it, drafting a QB in the first round this year proved to be a key to success, except for the Cleveland Browns, who got Brandon Whedon. Let's just move on. It seems the one team that was strong from start to finish was the San Francisco 49ers, a team so well coached they can replace their starting quarterback halfway through the season and not miss a beat. Whether they win or lose the Super Bowl, can we at least agree that Jim Harbaugh is the next great head coach in this league? God bless you, Jim, you magnificent lunatic. And that leads me to my Super Bowl pick. Sorry about that. I can't shake the feeling that the 49ers are going to stomp the Ravens. And that's not just Brown's bias talking, but seriously, burn in hell, Art Modell. Quite simply, I think the 49ers are going to use multiple formations and skill sets to expose the Baltimore Ravens defense as the old, slow unit that they are. There's no denying Baltimore's toughness and will, but I think the 49ers are younger and faster. If Justin Smith is healthy, enough to help Aldon Smith sack Joe Flacco, it's over. I'm going to say 49ers 31-20 over the Ravens. And remember, I'm always wrong. Thanks to Clint for asking me to help with the NFL Tackle this year. I've had a blast. I hope I get the chance to do this again next year. Now here's Tom and Clint.
All right, this is Clint and Tom. NFL Thud, NFL Tackle, here we go.
Woo!
Last one for the season.
It's been a wonderful season, hasn't it?
Hey, I think it's wonderful everybody out there has kept up with us and that we've kept up with it.
I haven't told you this, but we're only doing one of these this week, so
okay.
You better make it good. So we're going to talk about everything in one sitting.
Everything.
Can you handle that?
It's back on the blitz.
It's back on the blitz.
TJ, you know, you got to talk about football. You talk about football, you got to talk about the blitz.
All right, sorry. Chris Berman, back again, folks.
That's okay. We can take a little Chris Berman. So, what do you remember about this season?
I remember, I think about 6 games in is when I gave up on the Steelers season. I think it was the... was it the loss to Cleveland? It may have been the first...
maybe Tennessee.
Maybe Tennessee. There you go.
Or Oakland. One or the other.
Oakland, I actually predicted them to lose, but then Tennessee...
Yeah, but you didn't predict them to lose for a good reason. Yeah. You're like, Oakland's that team I always forget about.
Yeah.
And
so,
I'm like, Oakland sucks.
I think Tennessee is probably where I saw the wheels coming off. And, you know, I was kind of hoping that when Roethlisberger came back that... not necessarily it would make the team great again, but it would at least give them some kind of spark, and there's the offense, but then you got a new offensive coordinator, and they had zero running game. Zero. Nothing.
They had a running game. It was a game where they went ahead, they ran for a couple yards and threw the ball on the ground.
That's right. And then they ran, what was it, because, you know, the whole thing has come up about the Raiders and, speaking of the Raiders and Buccaneers Super Bowl, that Bill Callen threw that game on purpose and all that kind of stuff. You know, and they said, what did they say in that game? I heard the stat was they ran the ball 11 times in the game and threw it like 77 times or something to that effect. It just, you know, and that's what it felt like, you know, sometimes in the Steelers season. And Todd Haley was supposed to be there to, he was supposed to be there to right the running ship.
Where did Haley go? Did he go?
I have no idea. And is he gone?
He's been interviewing like crazy.
They said the Cardinals interviewed him at one point. I was like, really?
Have him.
It's like, But anyway.
How the hell does Bruce Arians sign at the Cardinals? I mean, the guy has a spectacular year, and he goes, hey, let me go ahead. I'll take the worst freaking team I can think of.
And what quarterback is he going to draft?
I mean, there's none out there this year. Right.
What quarterback is he going to draft?
Is he going to go after Alex Smith, since Smith is up there? And, Smith would be an improvement over what they've had. Yeah. But, I mean, literally speaking, what does he have to work with? To me, he has nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what he's gonna make. I guess it's a challenge, you know, and maybe that's what some guys go for.
If you want to talk about really funny, since I switched jobs not too long ago, and speaking of head coaches and weird things, I get these emails from headhunters looking for people to fill in tech positions and so on. And I get this email last week, and I saved it on my phone. I'll show it to you after the thing. But I got an email from Sean Payton, who was looking for me to take a DBA job.
Awesome.
So I was really laughing.
Do you get bounty pay?
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Take out on the way there?
I figured that's a nice segue to go, what the happened to the Saints this year?
Well, obviously it was a big shakeup, but you would think that they're – that defense, man, it just – it was.
What defense?
It was terrible.
You mean the water they put on the field and said, here, we'll call that a defense?
It was so bad. And, I mean, you know, you talk about how bad the Cardinals were, and it's like, you know, thank God the Saints had Drew Brees in that offense, because otherwise...
Well, if you took the Cardinals and you took the Saints and you put them into one team and dropped off the bad players...
They might be
pretty
good.
You would have the Arizona defense and the Saints offense, and you would have an unbeatable team.
That's right. You'd be pretty good. So, yeah, and they talked to, I heard an interview with the guy that's the president of the Saints, and he was very funny, because I noticed in his interview it was very much, we had a great, you know, guys, we had some rookies step up, they did a lot of good things. You know, it was a lot of coach speak, almost. There was no, hey, we suck this year, we're going to try harder, you know, we tried harder because obviously we got our butts kicked by the bounty gate thing, and we're going to try to move on past that. No, it was just a lot of positive reinforcement talk.
Well, I mean, they got to try to do something positive for the NFL down there in New Orleans right now. I mean, right now they're running around with parade floats with Roger Goodell fucking a sheep. Have you seen that?
I heard about that. How
much better can you get? And Goodell's going down there, and he's going to be...
That's the only reason I wish the Saints would have made the Super Bowl. Because I wish the Saints would have made it and won the Super Bowl to make Roger Goodell have to give New Orleans the Super Bowl trophy to them.
I would have loved Atlanta to go to New Orleans this week, because the New Orleans people are already pissed off enough at Goodell. Yeah. Could you imagine if Atlanta was there this week, too?
Yeah, and win the game.
You would be talking fires in the streets night.
For people that don't know, that don't obviously live in the Atlanta area, I mean, and this is before the Saints were good and before Atlanta was good, I used to go to Falcons games, and the New Orleans fans were the biggest assholes in the world. I mean, I remember one game we were at, and the Falcons were up by like 3 touchdowns, and we were leaving. It was like the middle of the fourth quarter, and we passed a couple of Saints fans, and they talked shit to us. And at one point, I stopped and said, did you see the score? Well, it doesn't matter. You fucking suck anyway. And it just amazed me. I'm like, God, you guys are such a-holes. It's like, it doesn't matter whether you're good or not. You're just obnoxious.
The only thing I can think of that I can compare that to is I went to a playoff game for the Penguins and the Capitals, mm-hmm. and walked in to the DC Stadium up there. I don't even know what it's called, AT&T mm-hmm. something or something yeah, one another. Anyway, I walked in and I was wearing a Pens jersey and went to sit down, and we were like one of seven Pens jerseys inside the whole place. And someone goes, "Fuck your mother!" And my brother-in-law goes, "Yeah, well, she'll call you back."
Yeah, it could have been worse. Could have been in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where they beat up Santa. But yeah, another thing I was going to touch on is, in general, a strange move. I think the wrong Ryan got fired. I think the wrong Ryan brother got fired this season. Rob Ryan got fired from his defensive coordinator position at Dallas, but Rex Ryan somehow held on to his head coach.
I don't understand that at all.
I don't. And then Dallas followed it up by bringing back Monty Kiffin. Monty Kiffin, granted, great defensive mind, put together some great teams, apparently now could not hack it in the college ranks. Don't know if it's because he couldn't get the guys he wanted, but you also would think he didn't do very well being an old school guy against the read option. And guess now who's in their division? The guy that runs the read option at Oregon. So what's Monty going to do against that and RG3? So what's he going to do about that? So he may have left the college ranks to come back to the NFL, but...
It may be a little different, though, because, you know, I look at things, and I've seen a lot of college coaches come up to the NFL and just blow it. They have these big reputations that they've done so great in college, and not being a college fan, I just watch them come in and hear this big name, and all of a sudden they whiff their way right out.
Yeah.
I've seen it more often than not, and sometimes the guys who do well in the NFL, so, you know, cannot
go back.
Hack
I mean, look at Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach, was not a very good NFL coach, went back to college, got pretty damn good with USC, you know, but made his bones there, decided to come back to the NFL, and he's been successful. You know, whatever, I guess he learned from his mistakes, and credit to him.
Now, I'm not saying the wrong Ryan didn't get fired, because obviously my opinion is I have no idea how Rex Ryan keeps his job, other than he has a big mouth. And maybe he's lost a lot of weight, but that mouth has not gotten any smaller.
And I don't know. And the funny thing is now, too, with these offenses, like you see, like the RG3s and obviously Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick and these, you know, whatever you want to call it now, the pistol, whatever offense you want to call it. Do you think Tim Tebow sits and looking in the mirror going, Why not me?
Yeah.
Where was my shot?
He has to be.
Is it too late for me now? It's like, why didn't they do this for me? Because Newton came out, what was it, the year after Tebow? He's like, why did I miss it by a year? What happened? Why didn't the right team draft me? Why didn't they use me the way I should have been used?
You know, that makes no sense to me. I don't think that Tebow was that talented, but then again, his team won. When he was at Denver and they put him in, he won. Yeah. He had a winning record and a hell of a winning percentage there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go, that wasn't Tim Tebow's fault. But, you know, there has to be something to it.
Whatever.
You can watch a shit quarterback go into a good team and tear the team apart. Yeah. And unless they know how to manage a ball, they cannot do well. Look at Alex Smith. I mean, look at what he's done. He's a very adequate ball handler now. Mm-hmm. He can manage a game very well. He's never been an outstanding NFL quarterback. He might have done a lot in college, he's never been that outstanding.
Ironically, I think he also played for Urban Meyer when he was at Utah. I think he played for Urban Meyer as well, same as Tim Tebow did. So who knows? Maybe Tim Tebow will finally find his place eventually,
maybe.
The right offensive coordinator, the way Alex Smith finally did. So. Yeah, that's and then the Falcons. Falcons did well. I think they're making progress. You know, they're getting.
How about Chicago?
They.
I mean, we know where the Falcons wound up. But what's that train
there?
Wreck?
Yeah. What? I mean, you know, and
8 games into the season, they were undefeatable.
It's got to go back to the offensive line. You know, you haven't had a decent offensive line there in years.
Do you think it's all the offensive line, or do you think it's that Jay Cutler pisses off the offensive line?
Well, I don't think they're very good at protecting. You know, they're not very good at protecting him in the first place. So, you know,
I think he makes it worse. Yeah. I mean, him yelling at them, screaming at them, bitching at them.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely doesn't help. So, yeah, I don't know what to say about Chicago. Let's go on to. Do you think the Pats are done?
I don't think the Pats are done, although it is highly ironic that, you know, people point at Spygate
as being the downfall, but really the downfall was the 18-0 season. You know, when they were at, and you could pretty much, for more reasons than one, you could call that the crest of the Patriots in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, because
that was the penultimate. That was it. They were there. They were about to stake the flag in the top of Mount Everest, and then Eli Manning and God, I can't even remember the guy's name now that caught the ball.
Coughlin,
David Tyree.
Okay.
Caught the ball on his head. The craziest catch in the world, and Plaxico burst with a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. And then, you know, some teams would love to have a downhill as years as the Patriots have had, only making it back continuously to the AFC Championship games and Super Bowls, but not winning. But, you know, it's been, I think the stat I read, and we talked about it before, is I think 3-5 in the playoffs and Super Bowls since that. And it's, you know, I don't think they're done. I think Tom Brady's too good to be done. I think you could put Tom Brady on just about any team and, you know, they would be fine. Their problem has been their defense, you know, ever since, it's weird, ever since pretty much, you know, Romeo Crennel left. Long time ago, and they've had.
And God, he needs to stop head coaching. But
yeah,
that's another
story.
I couldn't
believe Kansas City made him their head coach. But yeah, and this
after
year,
Cleveland, boy, let's go ahead and let's look at a resume here. You've been defensive coordinator, okay, under the Spygate, but still defensive coordinator, and then you went and head coached the Browns for 2 years. You made some of the worst quarterback decisions ever made in football.
Was he the Tim Couch era? Head coach, or was that somebody else?
He was Brady Quinn.
Oh, okay.
He was the guy that couldn't decide week by week who was going to be in there and when he was going to pull them in each week.
And then that got to be the case in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, he's a laughing stock.
The Quinn man.
Yeah, he just needs to give it up. Go home.
Yeah.
So now that we've switched kind of focus from some of the somewhat better teams at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
We could also throw the Texans in there, but I think they just nosedived at the very end, and heavy nosedived.
Yeah.
But how about teams like Kansas City and Jayville? Do they have a hope for next year, your opinion?
Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville's trying to find its identity now because they have a new owner, and the new owner gave Mike Mularkey a season. And then, since he's the new owner, he decided to bring in new management, and new management decided they didn't want to go the Mike Mularkey route. So, that didn't work very long. So, I guess the question is there going to be patience there now that you have all your guys, or are you going to do this every year?
I remember reading earlier this year, and I haven't seen this since, and everyone I talked to, no one ever has read it, but it was on our boards because of TJS Savannah. He's the big Jacksonville fan, and I remember reading that they are playing 4 games in London next year.
Something, yes, I remember something to that effect, and I don't know if that's a money thing that the NFL's paying them well to do that.
They kept their team there was basically the whole lock to
Well, and then I saw something last night that on the news that said Los Angeles wants the Falcons.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay, whatever, dude.
Well, yeah. You know who wants that team, don't you?
You talk about apathetic fans. For the love of God, go to Los Angeles.
No, no, they're going back there. That I will promise you. In the next 5 years, there will be a team in L.A.
I'm sure they will get a team, but people complain about Atlanta fans being the worst fans. It's like,
you know who wants that team, don't you?
Go move that team to L.A. You talk about crappy fans.
Yeah, if you want to talk about owners with deep pockets, and you go, well, Daniel Snyder and blah, 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 Larry Ellison.
Oh, yeah.
Wants that LA team.
Well, if SAP
and he will not stop until he gets it.
If SAP owned a team, then Larry Ellison would want to own that team. Larry Ellison's the head of Oracle. For
yes.
Those that don't know,
and
SAP.
He's the sixth richest man in the world, and he's going off on a tangent here. He's not the nicest person.
He is the polar opposite of Bill Gates.
Exactly.
He is the polar opposite of Bill Gates. He is Steve Jobs with a bigger mouth and a bigger attitude.
Oh, yeah.
He's very obnoxious.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and leave it at that.
Uncle
Larry.
So.
But if Uncle Larry wants, he will get, though. That I will say, and there will be a team in L.A.
Kansas City, I don't know why for the life of me, but I, for some reason, root for them a little bit. I don't know why I do, but maybe it's because they haven't had a good team there in so long. And, you know.
See, that's me every year with the Texans. I kind of root for them.
I would hope that eventually they'll get something there because right now, I mean, you look at the AFC West and you've got the Raiders who just can't get it together. You've got the Chiefs. You've got the Chargers.
The Chargers who can't get it together either.
They're under new management now as well, and we'll see how that goes.
Oh, thank God, no more Norv Turner there.
No Norvell. And then, you know, and now the Broncos, who are the class of the division with Peyton Manning and a good defense. So, you know, it'd be nice to see some competition in there with, you know, the Chiefs in there. And people used to hate to go to Arrowhead and play, and, you know, it'd be nice to see that stuff come back. But
yeah, Arrowhead's kind of like, hey, come on in, beat us right now.
Yeah, I know. So, well, and you talk about maybe not bad teams, but you know, they weren't a bad team. They made the playoffs. But I'm anxious to see how the Packers react to the offseason because the Packers got reamed by the 49ers, to put it lightly. The defense has not been the same. In the last few years, Charles Woodson is getting old, whether they want to admit it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Name another guy in that secondary. That's it. You can't think of anybody else in the secondary. I mean, you know, they used to have Atari Bigby. They had I can't remember his name, a dude with the hair.
So you spent a lot more time watching NFC than I do.
Well,
so
you know,
I'll just take your word for that.
Well,
one.
You know, it's just, and that's the thing that you know, all their talent is up front in that front four, and then the linebackers, but that they've lost their secondary talent. And I'll be interested to see, especially with Dom Capers. Dom Capers kind of did that with Carolina, and he kind of did that with the Steelers defense. He kind of hit a cap,
mm-hmm.
and then things never got any better. They just kind of got worse.
Yeah, I think that if it goes halfway through the year next year and they still don't have that defense right, Dom Capers may be looking for a job.
And I think the Steelers didn't have to fire him because I think he went to the Panthers, right? Didn't he leave
there
to the Panthers? He went to Carolina and they didn't have to fire him. But I know he had kind of maxed his time there at the Steelers. So speaking of the Steelers, let's segue to the Ravens. And hey, guess who's in the Super Bowl? It's your favorite, Ray Lewis. Ray,
you know what?
Ray, look at my...
Today,
you got any deer spray?
Today is the breaking news. I don't know when this is actually going to hit, but we are recording it on Tuesday night. And earlier on today, there was some rumor came out that Ray actually took steroids from a deer's penis or something along that lines. It was only the tip, so you know it wasn't too much going on there. And he's pretty sure that he'll test unpositive, but.
Well, he hasn't tested. Well, they said he's never failed a drug test.
Yeah, but he hasn't taken the blood test, so he's supposedly skating along on that term.
Right, and as I said, I know you and a lot of other people, and I don't have any love for the man either, but I'm kind of laughing at the fact that you sat on this for this long. You sat on this waiting for Ray Lewis to get to the Super Bowl because this guy says he has tape recorded conversations
great. It'd
and all
be great
that.
Publicity. Yeah, you know, if they would have lost, I would have done it right after they lost because that's when he would have been most in the news.
Yeah,
and you know, just, if I'm a businessman and he did something that stupid to go ahead and do a transaction with me, I'd wait just for that time.
Let me tell you too, man. Nothing like deer antler spray or whatever it's called. Oh my God, that's.
Do you watch Justified?
I do not. I should, but I do not.
All I can think about is they have this snake preacher on there right now who was tricked into going ahead and having the snakes bite him that had venom sucked out of him. And then when someone actually brings him one who doesn't, he gets really fucked up over it. And so all I can think of is Ray Lewis playing this game with this snake venom guy going, hey, look, let's go ahead and... let's see what happens when the snake bites you.
I'm like a deer. I'm out. But you won't see me in the headlights because I'm like a deer. I'm running. I'm gonna stab you with my antlers.
Thank God. Don't cry. Don't cry.
Lord, to the Lord. To the Lord. A deer to the Lord. So anyway, so here we are, Super Bowl.
Maybe with the deer essence, maybe he'll jump in front of a car and get
there
hit.
There you go, yeah. Unless it has those little things on the front of it.
Yeah, you know, the little...
Maybe that's...
Maybe that's what the running backs should attach to their helmets.
Maybe. That would work. Yeah, it'd be Deer Republic.
Call Vegas. Call Vegas.
call Kaepernick. Come on, buddy.
We've got new breaking news for Vegas. So.
That now increases the San Francisco line from 3.5 to 8.
Oh, man, let me tell you. They put those little things on their helmets. There's no way Ray could be able to get to them. They had to worry everything about T-Sizzle. So, yes.
Either that or put a salt block on one side of the field and he's done.
Or some berries. Or some berries. Put some berries in a tree. So, well, that being said, so here we are. It is the brothers. Not the brothers everybody thought would make it to the Super Bowl first. Everybody thought the Manning brothers would be there first, not the Harbaugh brothers. But the chips fell and they fell in the right direction. So
I'm going to be honest. We're half an hour into this or 20 minutes into the recording or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And even yet, it's been a week and a half since the playoffs ended. I still have not thought about who I think can win the game because, honestly, I really don't care.
Someone asked me today, because I have my Steelers hat on, for those of you that aren't watching the video version of the podcast. Oh, wait, there is no video version of the podcast.
you'll be thankful for that.
I did wear my
Broncos cheerleader outfit.
I have my Steelers hat on, and someone today asked me who I thought was going to win the Super Bowl game, and it took me a second. I kind of had my feelings already, but to your point, I don't think I've watched a single moment of coverage. I don't think I've watched in anything. I think I've watched more replays of old Super Bowls on NFL Network than any coverage. And I think part of it is because I don't care. I really don't care who wins this game. I really have no desire, you know, and plus two, they're obviously, you know, what line they're going to go with and beat in the ground. It's the brothers.
I'm going to have to go ahead and quote somebody on here. Pittsburgh Dad, he has a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a Super Bowl where we root for Bane. And, you know,
yes!
That's where I'm at.
I'm here to blow up the stadium. You like that, yes.
That would be awesome if he just came out and blew up the entire stadium in the middle of the second quarter.
Well, you know, the way it happened in the movie was it was just the players that went down. It wasn't the crowd.
The crowd.
You know, nobody innocent.
Hey, and there's worse places to be trapped than New Orleans.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that might not be too bad.
Yeah,
let me go
correct.
On StubHub and see how much tickets are, because that would be an ideal scenario. At least you could be drunk enough to not know what the hell's going on.
I came a butt hair away from going to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and what I have heard from people that have actually been to the Super Bowl, I have a friend or two that has been, and I have heard people on podcasts and things talk about it, and they were like, it is the worst possible football game to go to.
Yeah.
Because they said, it is boring. Nobody wants to cheer for anybody. If you try to stand up and people yell at you to sit down, because nobody there is there because they like one of the teams. They're there because their company gave them tickets. And that's what Adam Carolla, I point to as one of the examples, is I think he left at halftime. I forgot what Super Bowl he went to. It was a few years ago, but he said, yeah, I left at halftime because it was boring. I didn't care who won the game. He's like, and I got up and left. He goes, I went back to the hotel and I finished watching on television. So, I don't know. My friend usually has a party. He's had a party every year since I've known him, and I have not seen hide nor hair of anything about a party this year. I think it may be because he's out of town. So, this may be the first Super Bowl in a while where I stay home, and I don't go to any.
We've always had parties every year, and this year, no.
Yeah, we're not, you know, and so
I have no desire to, you know, tie up my time, have to clean up the house when it comes to watching those two fucking teams play.
I know, and unfortunately, unfortunately for ratings, I don't know. Maybe the storyline, the brothers' storyline will be enough for ratings, I don't know. But I will have to, you know, and I heard a brief interview with Jim Harbaugh, and he's one of the things he said. He's like, I understand you got to follow the brother thing. He said, but it's about the players. And he goes, he said something that kind of made me laugh was, I just hope you don't hate both of us by the time the Super Bowl finally gets here. You know what he said? Because you're going to be
sick of
hearing
about
both of us.
Did he think that people didn't hate them to begin with?
Well, you know, it's been more to hate them for than being getting Super Bowl covers shoved down your throat from the two of them. But So I'll jump in. I've thought, like I said, I have put some thought to it a bit here and there. I haven't watched any coverage. I listen to NFL radio all the time on Sirius XM. Shameless plug. And kind of formed a few opinions from there. A point that they made that was very interesting is the teams that San Francisco had problems with are teams that run man coverage. Seattle, St. Louis. And that's because that read option, pistol, whatever the hell you want to call it, you lose something when you have man coverage because then the safeties are free to watch where you go and correct. Watch whether you hand it off or not. And like I said before, Green Bay, name another defensive back besides Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson, who could not even catch Colin Kaepernick on the right angle. So obviously not the old Charles Woodson. You know, and then you look at the Ravens, and you got some young guys at DB, and then you got the Hammer, Bernie Pollard, and you got Ed, I'm already thinking about how far I'm going to return my next interception, Reed.
Exactly.
So, and then you got Ray Lewis, we're playing for Ray Ray, and I know Mr. Deer, and who knows, there could completely something come out of the blue and Goodell could slam something down and he may not play.
I would love that.
I don't think that would happen just because of the whole circumstances around this is his last game, he's retiring, et cetera, et cetera. However,
with the focus being on Lance Armstrong as much as it has this year already, it may actually happen.
Roger Goodell perhaps to have seemed to enjoy swatting flies with sledgehammers and sometimes kind of does the old ready, fire, aim.
And well, so, I've seen him do that to the teams where he seemingly doesn't give a shit for.
Yeah.
But the New England-based teams, or the New England area-based teams, including Philadelphia and Baltimore, up in that northeast sector,
yeah.
He seems to go ahead and take it a lot friendlier.
Yeah.
So, to me, there's a good chance that he would sweep this under the rug. But I think that it being in New Orleans and them already calling for his head, I think if he lets this go under the rug after Bountygate, I think that he may have fear for his life when he makes it down there.
There was something I saw, a little brief headline the other day. I think they said it was like 61% of NFL players don't approve of Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Which makes me laugh, and I'm just kind of like, well, I guess he's not there to be liked. I guess no, he feels like he's there to do a job.
And the 39% were the Patriots, the Eagles, the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, I know there's a few people on the Steelers that probably said, no, I don't like our commissioner.
Let me go ahead and think. I can't think of anyone to name offhand.
Not anybody with last name Harrison. Not at all.
But. Hell, I mean, Paul Amalu came out and said stuff against him. And yeah. Paul Amalu
loves everybody.
Paul Amalu loves everybody.
Yeah.
He has a nice little, almost Michael Jackson voice, but he does love everybody.
So, yeah, it's crazy. And then, you know, but the 49ers, they're Kaepernick. You know, is he a fluke? Is he the real deal? I guess we'll see next year. You know, when he's got a full season to play and he, you know, because when you run that offense, look at RG3. When you run that offense, you're going to get hit. It doesn't matter how fast you are. It doesn't matter how agile you are. You're going to get hit. And, you know, was it a stroke of genius by Harbaugh to see the talent in Kaepernick and almost, if you want to call it, seizing the opportunity when Alex Smith went down to say, hey, you know what? Not only do I think this guy can fill in for him, I think this guy might be better, and he might be better for us. And you know what? He hasn't taken a full half season of pounding already like Alex Smith has. And so, you know, what do you say? You put the team.
And there's always defenses that have a chance at figuring him out a little bit better, figuring out his tails
right.
before what he does. You know, he didn't have that time to gel in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why so many second-year quarterbacks go ahead and struggle. And you put him up against...
Newton. You know, Cam Newton had struggles this year. You know, after he had a brilliant first season, you would think, oh, all he's going to do is get better. He had a tough time this year. You know, it's like baseball when guys face pitchers, brand new pitchers for the first time, usually have a hard time with it. So I say that I have no interest. I don't care who's going to win or lose. I think it will be a good game. I think it will be. It has all the makings of being an entertaining game. I just don't know, and I'm sure I'm sure I will watch it. And I'm sure at some point in time I will start siding with one team or the other because it doesn't really matter because you always do. When you're watching a game, eventually you'll start swaying one way or the other. It's very hard to be, you know, it's very hard to be in the middle, even if you hate both teams, you know, or you love both teams. You start kind of swaying one way or the other.
I hate both teams, but there's one that, I mean, if you ask me to rank, you ask me to rank all 32 teams in the NFL, and I can tell you who number 32 is each and every time. You could ask me to, last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before, and I'd answer the same freaking damn thing.
So then by that assumption, I'm going to assume that probably in your pick, you may be going with the team from out west.
Yes, well, the reality is, you know, there's the fans' pick, and then there's also the pick that I think can go ahead and win.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to go ahead. You know, I read some article today that was talking about how they would rank all 46 Super Bowl victories in the teams that won it.
Mm-hmm.
And there seemed to be a common theme going through the article. And I apologize, I don't remember what site the article was on, but there's this common theme that if the team didn't have a good season leading up to the Super Bowl, then, you know, they were a poor victor. And I looked at that, and I looked at, you know, the ranking of the sixth-seeded Green Bay Packers and the sixth-seeded Steelers from 2005,
mm-hmm.
and they were clear at the, like, 40 and 36. And I tend to disagree with that because a team that knows how to win and a team that can go ahead and struggle in there is sometimes the hardest team to go ahead and beat. And you could have taken one of those teams that had a perfect season, Dolphins from 72. Sorry, Fleed. But if you
what?
Took it.
Who? 70, who is that?
Yeah.
What year was that?
I have no clue.
They're undefeated?
Yes.
No.
You would never believe that.
What?
Yeah.
No. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. So if you took one of them and you placed it against one of those strong six-seeders that actually had to work their way through the playoffs, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you that six-seeder would find a way to scrap out a victory against that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of it, that brings me right back to going ahead and looking at the Ravens right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens were counted out. They were fourth seed. They weren't sixth.
Right.
But they were not projected to make it to the make it through the wild card weekend. They were not supposed to make it to the conference championship.
Almost limping into the playoffs as much as the Texans.
Yes. And they looked horrible going into the playoffs. They found their spot. They're gelling. Now, this is what I will say. If Goodell happens to come down with his sledgehammer and goes ahead and finds some truth to this, performance-enhancing drug, deer dick or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and he suspends Ray Lewis, I think they're done. I think that you can go ahead and roast him under a fire.
And
that's
done. An interesting point of view, because I think if he does it, I think that means they're going to win all the more, because I think it's going to piss him off. It's going to piss off that defense. It's going to piss him off even more than now that they're pissed off and they're. I haven't really heard them throwing around the disrespect card, but those guys do that a lot.
Oh,
that defense, especially, because the defense has been maligned, and with good reason. I mean, even in the games they're winning, they're not exactly holding the other team 13 points a game. You know, Denver scored, 35 against
mm-hmm.
them? And, it's like the last week they scored, 30-something points against them again, I think, the last game, right? The Pats. Yeah, the Pats. They almost, or was it 20-something?
No, it was 13.
It was
28-13.
That was the final.
And you stop one of the highest octane offenses in the league and held them to 13.
And like you said, I agree. I mean, hell, I went with them. After they beat Denver, I went with them the next week,
and I
went with them and said they're going to the Super Bowl, and that's on my side of it. That's why I'm going. I'm sticking with them. I'm going with them.
I will stick
Bowl.
With them, except if Ray Lewis does not play. If he does not play, I don't think they can handle the man coverage because I don't think their line. I think they have to reshift their linebackers to go ahead and make up for him missing. All of a sudden, they open up one person, and it's all that offense is going to take.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and we've
and
seen
that running game will open.
But here's things to look for during the game. At what point in time and what player on the 49ers does Bernard Pollard knock out? Because I have a feeling
Vernon Davis.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you said that. The biggest problem the Falcons had, they did not adjust to Vernon Davis. Thomas Dekeaux was doing nothing to stop Vernon Davis from running down the field. Personal opinion, I think Davis is a huge pussy. I think
Bernard Pollard puts one or two shots on him, I think Vernon Davis will be looking downfield and not looking for the ball. I think you can, and then you can count him out, because I'm glad you brought that up, because I forget to mention that point. I think as soon as they put some good pops on him, whether he gets open or not, I think he shuts down. I think he's done.
I don't know. This is Super Bowl though. There's a whole different mentality. I think if you're talking regular season, I think you're right. I think Super Bowl, you're talking wrong. I don't think anyone's going to shut down. This is their one chance for a ring. And Davis has been in the league long enough now. What is it, 6 years, 7 years?
Yeah. Maryland.
That he's...
Fear the turtle!
That he's looking at it and he's saying that, you know, he either gets a ring this time or he may not get another shot to go back.
Yeah, so, but anyway, like I said, that's what, so I'm obviously, I'm going to keep riding the Ravens, and I'm going to go with them. I think, as I said, I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. If it was a blowout, one way or the other, I would really be surprised. San Francisco looked a little susceptible to that deep ball. Matt Ryan burned them a couple times. And obviously, Harbaugh's not going to be afraid to unleash Flacco and let him throw the ball deep, because that's what they're doing.
He's actually making something of it,
and
too.
They're running Torrey Smith, and then they figured out in the Pats game that, hey, Anquan Boldin's got pretty strong hands. Let me just throw the ball somewhere around him, and by God, he'll come up with the ball. And, they have enough on offense. They have Ray Rice. You know, they have the receivers, and they have the defense. I think... Maybe not. Maybe he's been in enough. I think Kaepernick maybe gets a little starstruck. Super Bowl, you know. I don't know. As I said, I'm leaning towards the Ravens. I hate it. I'm sitting here saying it with my Steelers hat on, and I hate saying it, but I'm going with the Ravens, and I guess we'll see the chips fall where they may. But I think it will be a good game. I think it will be a competitive game, and I don't think it'll be a blowout.
Well, that should about do it for the NFL Tackle for 2012, 2013. Next year, it'll be back again.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Chud.com NFL Tackle Podcast with Clint Schaefer, Tom Suit, and Jesse Berry, exclusively at Chud.com.